Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the After Show. My name is Michael Rose, and thank you for joining us on November 7th, 2016, otherwise known as the last day of America. The season is ending. It's the season. It's the series finale of America. All the cliffhangers, all the mysteries. What's the deal with the guy who, you know, gets stuck in the well or the thing under the tree? And who is Jacob anyway? And, you know, why are they all dead? It's not clear. And were they ever on the airplane? And why does his Jack's father keep showing up? And Locke is in the suitcase. What's the deal with that? I don't know. Locke's dad was in a closet. Anyway.
Hi, Javi.
It's our tribute to Javi. Our little lost tribute there. My name is Michael Rose. I'm joined, as always, by my podcasting partner in crime, Ms. Kelly Guimont. How's it going, Kelly?
It's going pretty well, Mike. How about you?
I feel like I'm going to vomit. I just really do.
Yeah,
I feel the this constant sense of nausea and foreboding.
Okay.
And
so,
I don't...
deep breaths. Let me talk to you about the SodaStream. Carbonated water is very good for this sort of thing.
We're doing product placement now. Mindfulness through product placement.
No, it's like the easiest way to carbonate water, because like you can do it with a paintball container and whatnot with like the adapter and stuff, but it's kind of a pain in the neck. So yeah, let me just talk to you about soda water, like not tonic water because it tastes weird. So straight up carbonated water, it's your friend. Go, you know, mosey on down to the store, get yourself some LaCroix in a nice flavor. You'll be better off, I assure you. So
I don't even know where to go with this. Here's what I can say. I can say that this week is my younger daughter's birthday. She's turning 12.
Awesome.
And it is amazing to me that she spent longer than 3 weeks, maybe a month, obsessed with let's play videos on YouTube of this game I'd never heard of. And she kept talking about this game. She's like, I want this game. And I kept thinking, well, it's got to be a Windows first person shooter. She kept talking about monsters and killing them, and it turns out it's this crazy, adorable, wacky, weird cult 8-bit game called Undertale. And B, it's on Steam, so she can have it on the Mac. So she is happy as a clam.
That's
happy
awesome.
As a clam.
So tell me about this game.
It's a game called Undertale. It's an 8-bit game. It's available on Steam. There's monsters. There's walking around. There's
all of that.
Lizards.
Platformer? Is it Minecrafty? What is it?
I think it's more of a turn-based combat. Here's the thing. I have not watched any of the videos. I've not played the game.
Okay, so you have no idea.
I get bursts of narrative that are completely, you know,
incomprehensible.
I don't understand them, and I feel so old because my kid is talking to me about a video game, and I'm like, I like video games. Video games are cool. I have no idea. And the best part, well, day before yesterday, she comes and she says, "Oh, Dad, I just game overed for the second time on the same monster, and I'm so butthurt now." It's like, it's like, no more YouTube for you. You've reached the end of the internet.
On the other hand, that's a little bit fantastic. As a spectator, that's a great story. If it were my kid, yes, there'd probably be a different reaction. But from here, that's hilarious. So thanks, younger.
Yes, thanks. Thanks, minor.
For some well-needed laughter.
Oh God, I'm stressing out. I'm stressing out. This is our election eve special.
Yes.
We're gonna have it. We should have it actually up before they vote in Gobbler's Knob or Dick Field Notch or
Ass Flaps, Tennessee.
Cross Grab Corner. I don't know. Whatever that town is in New Hampshire.
That's one of my. That will always be like my two favorite fictional towns. There's a show title. My two favorite fictional towns are Wahoo, Nebraska, because that's where Dave Letterman always did the top 10 list, was from the home office in Wahoo, Nebraska.
Yep.
And Craig Ferguson's go-to made-up place was Ass Flaps, Tennessee, which, if you stop and think about it, sounds like maybe it's like 50-50. Maybe that actually is a real place in Tennessee.
You never know. It's possible. It's possible. Oh, my fit. I got to give, I also have to give shout out to Guy English tonight on Twitter, who retweeted, I think it was Joe Walsh, former congressman.
Oh,
Joe
Walsh,
Joe Uli Walsh, said, if you want to live in a country with 63 genders, vote Clinton. If you want, you know, a place where men are men or women, or women, vote Trump. And Guy's comment was, this is like internet shame because he was six genders away from the perfect tweet.
Yes, I saw that go by.
I was like, yes, it's true.
Today on Twitter has been very entertaining Joe Walsh
so
also said, why do you make it so easy to vote or something?
Yeah, it should be harder. Lines. Oh, and like the Alabama Secretary of State or whoever it was saying it dishonors the sacrifice of civil rights activists when we make it too easy to vote. It's like, no, it does the exact opposite of that.
Yeah. So here's what the election looks like in Oregon. Now that we know that New York is verging on nausea.
It looks like a mailbox. It looks like a mailbox. It always looks like a mailbox
in Oregon. Oregon has been rolling its eyes for the last week because.
Yes.
Because we vote by mail, exclusively by mail. This is not like you have an option to exercise vote by mail. It's all vote by mail all the time. And we average. OK, I'm sorry, I'm not going to have the number on this, but I went back and looked because I work. I'm a remote worker in my day job, so I don't go into an office.
I find you very personable. Oh, that's not what you meant.
No, I can work wherever I want to. I don't have an office that I have to go into to report to anybody or anything. So the reason that this comes up is because that means that there's nobody over the wall from me that I'm annoying when I decide things like I'm going to call the Secretary of State's Department of, you know, the Secretary of State's office, talk to the Department of Elections and find out what's up.
Mm-hmm.
So I did. And we have in presidential elections, the numbers since 1996, because 1998 was when we went 100% vote by mail. The numbers from 1996 onward are between 70 something percent, 80 something percent for voter turnout for presidential elections. So it's lower than that in odd numbered years. But, you know, when it really counts, like we're totally there. And it's because we have mail. So they send us this giant voters pamphlet in the mail. You can look up the whole thing online. You can go do as much research as you want. So I literally sat with my ballot out in front of me, looked up all the voter guides I wanted to see, checked out all the different people that had written things for and against the different ballot measures, for and against different candidates for different offices, for people who don't necessarily play along at home. Secretary of State is now a really important office in Oregon because... Mm-hmm. Well, it was always the important one because it's who takes over if something happens to the governor. And last time around, something happened to the governor and he resigned. And so Secretary of State had to step in and run things. So it became a thing that was important to us. And we got a little more, it gets a little more attention paid to it now, I think, than maybe it used to. So I can sit down and do all this. I sat down, had a cocktail and sipped my drink, took my time. What does this one actually say? Who's filed arguments for and against, done all these things. So here's the thing is that due to the timing of let's go vote by mail Kelly is in college and doesn't get to vote where she grew up. So has to request a ballot by mail, which was still Oregon. But I had to request a ballot by mail in 96 and in 98, we went exclusively vote by mail. So I, lifelong Oregonian, never pumped a tank of gas. Well, it happened once because I told a friend of mine, I'm really glad you're from California because it means that you'll be able to pump gas. And he said, what are you talking about? And I said, I've never pumped gas.
Don't ever confess it.
And he's like, yeah, guess what? We're going to change that. It was horrible. I broke my thumbnail. It's never going to happen again. Well, anyway, not only have I basically never pumped a tank of gas, but I have also never voted in a booth because it's always by mail. Wow. So I sit down and I take my time. And of course, the other thing that this means is that as a lifelong Oregonian voter, I've never gotten an I voted sticker.
Oh,
which
I'll
is a bummer.
Mine. I mean, So I had to vote absentee this year because I, as of last week, I found out I thought I had to go to Pennsylvania tomorrow for work.
Oh.
And so I was going to be gone all day.
Yeah.
I wasn't going to be back in time to vote. And so I said, well, what am I going to do? And I actually, I went online. I was like, what is the New York State? What is the rule here?
Yeah.
And the rule is if you're going to be away, you can vote absentee. But I didn't really have time to like go get an absentee ballot and fill it out and send it in. So I went and I went to the Brooklyn Board of Elections office, which was quite a scene. And I gave them I filled out a form and I gave them my form and I sat and waited for about half an hour, 40 minutes. And mm-hmm. I was getting more and more nervous because I had to go pick up Miss Butthurt over Undertale from dance class. And then they called me in and like they call you in a group of six because that's how many little kiosks they have available for people to vote in. Mm-hmm. I mean, the place was packed because everybody's working. All the employees that ever work at the Board of Elections are working at the Board of Elections this week.
It's all hands on deck. Yeah.
It's all hands on deck. And I went back there and I went with a group of six where out of the six people, like two of them were trying to get ballots to take with them and mail in. One of them was trying to register as a poll worker, not as a for an absentee ballot. And the other three of us were like, and one other guy was picking up a ballot for a friend. Mm-hmm. So it was a little nutty, but, but yeah, so I went and I voted and then I left. And so I voted already. I have already voted in the state of New York. I am among the early voters well, I don't know if New York counts the absentee ballots as early ballots. But other states do. Mm-hmm. And states like Florida and particularly Nevada mm-hmm. are seeing some interesting stuff going on in terms of the early turnout.
And but, the other thing that's interesting about the early stuff to me is how many places, because I don't remember hearing this much about early voting before.
It's been a growing over the past, and I think the percentages have grown dramatically over the past two or three presidential cycles because yeah. it was not an option
right.
everywhere as many places then as it is now. But now it's gotten to be something like 20 to 25% of the electorate that votes early, mm-hmm. And in places like Nevada and Florida and a few other places, it's quite overwhelming. There are still places like Pennsylvania, which don't have early voting aside from absentee ballots. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, the get out the vote and the circumstances on election day are more important. But if you look at Nevada and you look particularly at Ralston Reports, the on Twitter, the reporter who is the dean of Nevada polling, there's some interesting demographic trends in the early voting, which basically would indicate that Latino voting, Hispanic voting, is dramatically up in states with high Hispanic populations mm-hmm. Over the previous two cycles. And particularly, these are voters who probably would not have made a likely voter screen for a poll mm-hmm. because they had not voted in two or more of the previous three presidential elections or whatever the screen is. I think it's the past two or the past three. In some cases, obviously, if you're not old enough, you wouldn't have voted in ones that were 12 years ago or 16 years ago.
Right.
But so it's interesting. It's potentially reassuring. But I like, look, I'm not going to lie. I'm a little bit of a basket case right now. And when you said Tennessee earlier, the Craig Ferguson town in Tennessee.
Yes.
I love my family. I do. I am a person who loves his family. And I love my extended family. My extended family is great. And I have a cousin in Nashville, Tennessee. And this is a shout out, you know, hey, you know what? This is going on the internet. No one's ever going to hear it. My cousin Lonnie, anyone who follows me on Twitter knows what's going on here. My cousin Lonnie, he lives in Nashville. He's a lovely man. He has kids, his wife. He's a Mac user. We once upon a time we bonded over technology, as so many of us do. And he 6 years ago, 8 years ago, ran for Congress as a Tea Party candidate. So Lonnie and I do not see eye to eye on politics.
So,
and it's just it just makes me sad. It's frustrating and infuriating and sad.
Well, so is it possible we could deploy super pixels to go knock some sense into him?
They don't live in the same town.
I know, but isn't it only like 2 or 3 hours from Victor to Nashville?
I would love to send Victor to Lonnie and say, would you just go and tell, like, stand outside his house and tell him he's an idiot? Could you do that for me,
please?
Well, you know what? That, I mean, and Victor is a man who will do that. He will go. We'll say that for the record. If you need him to do it, Victor Agreda Jr. will go to your cousin's house and like chalk his driveway and say, your cousin thinks you're a dork. He will do that. He will do that shit. No joke. So
can I give you a couple of things that might make you feel better?
That would help.
Aside from the SodaStream advice. Okay. So here's one. Obviously this comes from Oregon. Democratic Senate. We have two Democratic senators, Ron Wyden and Jeff Merkley. And the two of them have teamed up to
make a law firm, Wyden and Merkley, fighting for you.
Not yet.
Maybe when they retire.
No, it's good.
What have they teamed up to do?
They've teamed up to introduce the Vote by Mail Act of 2016.
What?
Yeah, they want to make it so that everybody can do this.
Communism. I mean, yes, that seems like a great idea.
It's awesome. And
federal law saying that every state has to offer a vote by mail option.
Yeah, here's what it would say. It would require every state to allow registered voters the chance to vote by mail. And then it would also require them to send ballots and prepaid envelopes out 2 weeks before an election. And then it amends it. But wait, there's more. It would amend the Voter Registration Act of 1993 to provide for basically the motor voter law, which we also have here in Oregon. Automatic voter registration through the DMV, wherever you live. So like Mike, when you moved and how to go update your address and your driver's license, then it would automatically fix your registration for you too.
This is true. And that's actually, in fact, what happened.
Right. But not everybody has that. And so this would make it so that A, everybody has that. And B, you would get the option to vote by mail. And let me tell you something. Let me draw an interesting parallel for you. Oregon, Washington, and Colorado are currently exclusively vote by mail. Oregon, Washington, and Colorado are also three of the recreational legalized marijuana states.
That is a fascinating correlation you've discovered.
Do you know why? Because well, we passed the vote by mail first, and so everybody sitting at home on their couch with the Funyuns was like, "Yeah, legalize it." And here we are. And let me also further point out the world has continued to turn.
What? Well,
nothing. We have not directly contributed to any of the overt, just flat out unconcentrated crazy. That was not us.
Well, that was not you. I will say that I saw my sister last week, who I rarely see because she lives in Colorado. She lives outside of Boulder, Colorado. Mm-hmm. And she said that the level of crazy in her immediate vicinity, her neighborhood, has gone up quite a bit, not entirely or not even predominantly attributable to legalized marijuana. They had wildfires. They had some crazy environmental stuff going on. They had wildfires, mudslides, everything.
Boulder has all the weather all the time.
It has all the weather. But they also have had like a guy who was found, like someone who was found dead, someone who was found first his foot and then the rest of him dead.
Yeah.
A house that blew up because somebody was making hash oil. So there have been some things. But it's not clear whether those things would not have been, you know, for example, methamphetamines or alcohol or something else.
I'm going to chalk that up to Boulder's Portland aspirations. because we have the same kinds of things here. So I'm gonna go with that.
Okay.
And I can do that because I actually know some of the stuff that goes on in Boulder, because your friend and mine, the pantsless wonder Jeff Gamet, lives in Boulder.
Hey.
And we get and I get updates from him on the regular as we're talking. He's like, oh, you know, it's about to snow here, you know, and in August. We're gonna get a snowstorm. I need to go turn off the air conditioner. So yeah. So there, I think there's some of it that's just all around crazy. And mm-hmm. I think a certain percentage of that is attributable to 2016. How much of it is, you know, Hindu Kush, I couldn't really say.
Yeah, it may be quite a bit.
So here's the second thing I'm going to tell you that I think will make you feel better, because you and I have already joked about it online. And that is, Mike, I'd like to know that you have consulted an official source on this. I'd like to know the recipe for a Mazel Tov cocktail.
It's not clear yet what actually makes up a Mazel Tov cocktail. But as Kelly is alluding to, one of the Republican nominees, the trumpeters. Yes. One of the surrogates was on CNN and meant to say Molotov cocktail.
Well, we think.
We believe we're giving that much benefit.
We're trying to give some benefit of the doubt here. Yeah.
But actually said Mazel Tov cocktail. And that, of course, made everybody lose their minds. So I will raise a Mazel Tov cocktail to you in Oregon for successfully not freaking out or over the, and actually, you know, for that one time you pumped your own gas. But
well, here's the other thing about the election that for me is interesting, because it does have a direct benefit here, is that first of all, you can sign up for alerts. Like if you have voter registration, you can go look up your voter registration here. And when you look it up, you can attach your mobile number to your registration and they will text you. So a while ago, they texted me, hey, we've mailed your ballot. You should look for it. And then when I dropped off my ballot, as soon as the county records it, I stop getting campaign mailers.
Ooh.
Number one.
Well, that is nice.
And number two, again, they text me, we got your ballot, you're good. So It's awesome. Like, I cannot recommend, like, I'm happy to trade the sticker for the fact that I got to sit home, have a cocktail, look up as much stuff as I wanted to look up about all the issues. I didn't have to like carry all this stuff around in my brain and then like worry about whether or not I was going to have it right when I walked into a booth or anything. It was great. So I can't recommend it highly enough. Whoever your representative is, I think that it behooves you, whoever you are, to contact that person and talk to them about the Vote by Mail Act of 2016, because it's so much better. And then like this heads off the whole why isn't Election Day a national holiday conversation. It saves everybody a bunch of hassle. It saves all those people having to wait in all those lines. And it's like in every way except the sticker, it's better. So,
well, and again,
I'm happy
to
trade the sticker.
The sticker we can get you. But I love that idea that you stop getting all the mail.
Yeah. Less That's propaganda. Yeah. Like, I feel like I'm doing my mailman a favor by dropping my ballot off early.
I really do. You're reducing the pressure on, you know, on the mail ecosystem. Killing fewer trees. All right. Well, we will look out for the Vote by Mail Act of 2017.
16.
In the next. Well, okay.
It's been introduced. So I'm, I don't know how far it's going to get this time around, but talk to your people. And in fact, I will include a link in the show notes to an article I wrote, a nice explainy article on how you can create custom labels for your contacts in your iPhone.
Wow.
Because then you can put in there like exactly who it is. And the example that I used in my piece was Congress. So here's a senator, here's a rep, and here's how I can tell the difference, and here's their phone numbers, and this is how I get people on the horn and say, you did that and I'm glad, or you did that and I'm unhappy about it. And it's important. And like, you have room in your phone for a Congress contact, I guarantee you. Put this on your speed dial, call it a day. You'll be so much you'll be so much happier because you call them up and complain. Like, I voted for you and you're not doing what I told you to do. Next time I'm going to vote for someone else. That's how it works. So I will make sure that we get that link in the show notes. And on happier notes, Mike, we should raise our Mazel Tov cocktails, whatever they contain besides bitters.
Yes.
That's just an educated guess on my part.
I'm pretty sure there's some in there, I would say.
For the hello section of our show, we started out with hi, Javi. So hi, Javi. Hi, Chris Fuller. Oh, and special hi,
Tony Walla.
Hi, Tony Walla. Special shout out to Chris Fuller for posting a picture of his future App Camp for Girls recruits, which was very exciting for me. They're adorable. And hi, Diane. Who I also got randomly tweeted this week. Hi, I love what you guys talk about us on the show. Hi, Jonathan, who I got to see in person, which we talked about briefly last time, because I'm still really excited about getting to see the Pet Shop Boys in concert, because it was awesome.
Hi, Other Kelly.
Hi, Phone Boy. Hi, Kelly.
We got to do a hi, Other Kelly.
Yes, we do, because we beat Utah. Not Utah. We beat the Grizzlies. Utah was a heartbreaker, but we beat the Grizzlies, and that was awesome.
Yes. We should do a hi, TJ Luoma.
Hi, TJ.
Because he's out there, and we're thinking about him as well. Let's see, anybody else? Hi, Info Driveway. Can't forget him.
Hi, Brittany. That's who I was forgetting. I knew there was somebody I forgot, and it was Brittany. I'm sorry, Brittany. Hi.
Leave Brittany alone. Oh, no, sorry. Wrong show. She must get that all the time.
Yeah. And so here's another interesting thing about the election. I'm just going to talk about happy stuff.
Go for it.
Because, like, we don't have all the voting stuff to worry about because it's all taken care of already. The second and Tuesday of every month is when we do, here locally, we do Core Audio, which is a bunch of nerds who get together for karaoke on the second Tuesday of every month, because at Voice Box Portland, not yet a sponsor, they do $12 Tuesday. And so we have, for $12, you can sing all night long. And we're going to do that tomorrow night because it's still the second Tuesday. And a bunch of people still said, well, yeah, of course I'm in, because we're either going to party down or we're going to need to drown our sorrows. And either way, they have a bar. So let's do it. So tomorrow night, that's what we will be doing.
Nice. That's a great idea.
It's going to be a lot of fun. I don't know what we're going to end up singing, but I think it's going to be a really good time. And it's going to include more App Camp for Girls people. Because I know there's some App Campers are going to be there. Gene is going to be there. Founder of App Camp, Marvelous. Gene McDonald.
Yay, Gene McDonald.
Fantastic.
I will say that we went a few weeks ago to INSA, which is a new, not even that new anymore, but a relatively new Park Slope, Brooklyn, Korean barbecue and karaoke venue. Mm-hmm. And it was awesome. It was fantastic. And I have to give a special shout out to these guys because I had said to them, we want a karaoke room, you know, 7 to 10. Uh-huh. And then we got there at 5:30 when they opened and said, hey, can we sit down and eat? They're like, sure, no problem. How many are you going to be? And we're like, well, we're going to be four, whatever, because we didn't know how many people were showing up early.
Yeah.
So we ended up being like, by the time everybody got there, we were like seven sitting around the end of this table. And I felt, I mean, the place had filled up. It got crowded and it's communal long tables and, you know, whatever. I felt a little bad that we were abusing the privilege.
Yeah.
And I said to the servers, I said, you know, I really appreciate you. And they were great. They were fantastic. I said, I really appreciate how accommodating you've been. I know this was like, it was kind of unfair of us to pack additional people in, and the guy's like, no, this is fine. Like last week, I think we had an eight top with 17 people. It's fine. Like we're good. It's
okay,
like you have no idea.
I'd feel a little less bad.
So yeah, so I felt less bad, and they were delightful and great venue, great food, great music selection, you know, good sound. Awesome. We had a very, very nice time. So that's INSA in Park Slope, Brooklyn on Douglas Street. Not yet a sponsor, but excellent karaoke. I also want to give a shout out to, if you are coming to New York City for the holiday season, and you are looking for something for a lot of people, when they come to New York for the holidays, they want to see a show. And mm-hmm. Do not blame them. There's shows. There are many shows you should see. But this is the Broadway recommendations portion of the podcast. So if folks want to tune out, that's fine. We're going to get back to election,
ding,
election
ding.
Anxiety.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, there's the cue bell. So three shows I'm going to recommend unreservedly. Number one, Falsettos. Falsettos is a revival of a show that was produced in the 90s, and it was actually originally 2 one-act shows. It was Falsetto Land and March of the Falsettos. And it's a bit written by Bill, I can't remember his name. I can't remember his last name.
Okay.
Getting senile. Anyway, it's a show about a family, about a husband and a wife and a son who have gotten divorced as the action of the play begins, and he has run off with a friend who is another man. And so it is the journey of trying to hold this family together, and through all sorts of craziness and stressors. And I won't spoil it for you, but it is heartwarming and uplifting and tragic and hilarious and incredible, musically incredible.
It stars
Andrew Rennells of Book of Mormon and Christian Borley of like everything. And so you don't want to miss it. It's fantastic. Falsettos. Second recommendation is a new show, a new musical called Dear Evan Hansen, which is stars Ben Platt from also from Book of Mormon, but more recently from the Pitch Perfect movies, mm-hmm. plays Benji. And it's about a incredibly socially awkward high school student who gets caught up in a web of deception. And I'm not going to say anything more about it. It is also incredibly tragic and funny, and just great music and good for the kids, good for the older kids, great for the parents, maybe not so good for the younger kids. Some adult themes. But that's new, and that's playing on Broadway right now. And lastly, Fiddler on the Roof, which is closing December 31st. So this is your last chance to see it. It's an incredible revival. I say that not only because it is fantastic, but also because a friend of mine is in it. So if you go on the right night, he's playing the rabbi. He's understudying Tevye. And so if you go on the correct performance, you may actually see him as Tevye. So for any of our listeners who are in New York for the holidays and go to see Fiddler on the Roof and see the little card in their playbill that says, you know, attention theater goers, at this performance, the part of Tevye will be played by Adam Gruper. And you say to yourself, oh, we don't get to see we don't get to see Danny Burstein. Oh, we paid all this money. We don't get to see stop it. Just stop it. Freaking stop it. Okay. Because he's amazing. Adam is fantastic. You're going to have an incredible time, and you're going to tell your friends. And I tell you this because this has happened, and it happened to me yesterday. You're going to say to people, if you meet me and I say, you know, a friend of mine is the understudy for Tevye, and you'll say, oh my gosh, we saw him. We saw the show, and it was the understudy. And at the beginning of the show, we're like, oh, we get to see that. We have to see the understudy. And he was fantastic. And this happened just yesterday at dinner. People who didn't know me said, we saw your friend, and we had that exact, you know, thought sequence. And we were thrilled because he was amazing. And so there you go. I'm just putting it out there. So those are my three theater recommendations.
Okay. So I'm going to make two recommendations.
Okay.
For people who are not going to New York for Christmas and have a deep inner need to see a Broadway show, while I do have that need, I just don't know how possible it's going to be this year. So, I'm going to make some slightly more accessible recommendations, and they are, first of all, Westworld, to bring it full circle to the J.J. Abrams shout out we did at the top of the show. I am loving Westworld. So I'm gonna make three recommendations. I'm gonna make a bonus third recommendation. So first, Westworld, it's on HBO. You can get You can watch it any place you want to if you subscribe to HBO already, as you know, with HBO Go. If you do not subscribe to HBO, you're a cord cutter, you can do HBO Now. And that's, I think, $15 a month. You could do it through whatever device you desire. And and it's great. I know people who do both, and both are fantastic. Westworld, I am absolutely loving. It hasn't reeled in Mr. Kelly yet, but everything I see, it spins off a new theory in my brain, and I have one of those brains that will like spin that stuff in the background forever.
You have a whole house full.
I do, actually. So I'm really enjoying it because like every time we get like it does all that stuff the first season of Lost did, where every time you answer a question, the answer like spawns five new things that you need to know immediately. So I actually spend a disproportionate amount of time thinking about this show and what it means and how things are working and what are they going to do and how does this fit in with this other thing and what's going on here. So yeah, I'm super into it. So if you really want to make sure that I have a super engaged conversation with you on Twitter, what you need to do is at me and say, "So Kelly, Westworld ... and off I go. I will be off to the races. It will be terribly exciting. My second recommendation is Sight Unseen. And that is the second season of Man in the High Castle, because it's coming to Amazon Prime in December. And I'm unbelievably excited about it, because last year we watched the first season. And here's the thing about it is that I hadn't really watched it. So I knew it existed, and it was one of those like I'll get around to it kinds of things on Amazon. And Mr. Kelly watched it. And when Mr. Kelly watched it, he watched like the first two episodes, I think. And we were getting ready to go on a trip. We had a crazy travel schedule at the end of last year, for people who remember. And so he like stocked them all up on his iPad and said, we can watch these on the planes. And I will watch the first and second ones again so you can watch them with me, because I think you'll like this show. Now, keep in mind that he doesn't ever watch anything twice, like even stuff he enjoys. I'm like, do you want to watch, you know, like when The Blacklist came back, because that's a show that we both really enjoy. When The Blacklist came back, he said, I said, do you want to watch the end of season three before season four starts? He's like, no, I saw it. Like he's a shark when it comes to television. He doesn't ever stop. And so he watched like two episodes of the show again so that I could watch them with him. And it was really good. It was so well done. For people who don't know the original story, it's a Philip Dick story. The same guy that wrote Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep, which in film became Blade Runner. And, the name of the story is The Man in the High Castle. And what it's about is this sort of alternate timeline where the Axis wins World War II.
Yep.
And the world that we live in now.
And occupies the continental, part of the continental U.S.
Yeah, and basically Japan and Germany split everything else up. The rest of the world. Because they've won. And it's bonkers. And but it was so good. I was just like Westworld, I was reeled in immediately. I really needed to see more. So they get to the end and they drop this little bomb in your lap and they're like, "Okay, bye." Because you go, "Oh, what with and the but
and the,
I just,
with the thing
and I can't," you know, and like you don't know what exactly is going to happen. And there's like all these possible ways that it could spin off. And it's coming out December, I want to say the 16th, but I could be wanting to say that because that's also when Rogue One comes out. And so that might just be the date that's in my brain for I have a thing to do in December, which is Rogue One. But it is coming out, and it's going to be one of those where they launch everything all at once.
It comes on December 16th. So that's
so
exciting.
So it is twice. I have two things to do that day. And so I'm super excited to see where they take the rest of the story. And then my third recommendation, so Man in the High Castle was my bonus recommendation. My other recommendation was This American Life has been doing this this songwriter series, I guess. You can watch the videos on their Facebook page. If you go to This American Life on Facebook and you click on videos, they have these three videos at the top under this playlist called This American Vote. And they have these three songs that they did that are, we contacted a songwriter and had a songwriter imagine the thoughts of someone that they cannot say about the current election. And so they had Sarah Bareilles write a song about what Barack Obama is not publicly saying about the election. And it is performed by Leslie Odom Jr.
Yep.
And I am not going to be able to remember who wrote the song.
Sarah Bareilles.
No, the second one.
The second one is Michael Friedman and John Ellison Conley.
No.
And the third one is...
The one that's sung by Neil Patrick Harris...
is Bobby Lopez and Kristen Anderson Lopez.
Yes. And so there's one where it's what Paul Ryan thinks and cannot say, which is sung by Neil Patrick Harris. And then the third one is Rance Priebus.
Yep.
And
I'm going to listen to those.
And they're fantastic. I just, as political songs, I really enjoyed listening to them. Like, not necessarily like... because I believe in one person or the other person, or because I'm on one side or the other side, but just to listen to the music that has come about, like, to me, that was really nice. And like, you couldn't do better than getting Leslie Odom Jr. to sing a song.
Really, I heard that in the car, actually, as I was driving with my my Hamilton freak elder child, Lulu.
Yes,
and she
Lulu.
She Hamil freaked. She had a Hamil freak out. That brings us back around briefly to politics, and I what I will say, which is in as best I can make it a nonpartisan message: if you are planning to vote, then plan to vote. Get out a piece of paper, decide how you're going to visualize. How are you going to get to the polling place? What time are you going to go? Who's going to go with you? What method of transportation? Do you know where it is? Do you know what the hours are? Find out and write it down. Because what has been discovered is that making a plan, writing it down, and visualizing it actually measurably, statistically, increases your chances of actually doing it. So it's important that you do it. So make a plan.
So here's my corollary to that is also, if you are not familiar with the area in which your polling place is located, if you need to map that out ahead of time, if you need to confirm what those hours are, do that stuff ahead of time. Take a screenshot on your phone, put it in Maps, and take a screenshot in Maps, because as... I would like to think that this isn't going to happen, but it is entirely possible that if you are trying to do things with your cell phone while half of America is trying to text the other half of America or call the other half of America for whatever reason, to share the news, to gloat, to whatever, there is a very real possibility it could be difficult for you to get at that information later. So if you're trying to do it on your phone... there's nothing wrong with that, and that's awesome, but do it ahead of time, do it offline, and try to figure out, if you can, what kind of timeline you're looking at. So if you, you know, if you are my mom, when my mom used to have to go to a place to vote when I was in grade school, you know, it really didn't matter because town wasn't big enough and my mom couldn't go until school was over anyway. So, you know, my mom can't get there until 3:30 or 4 o'clock. So even if like half of town is there, that's still only like 400 people, you know, and it wasn't all of them anyway. And we know that. So it's important to make sure that you've blocked out the time and blocked out the travel time. So if you live in a place where you're going to have to drive and there's going to be increased traffic, like anybody trying to drop off their ballot tomorrow in Oregon is going to end up in traffic regardless of where you are, because lots of people wait until tomorrow so that they voted on election day, because for some people that's very important. I like not getting mail at my house that doesn't really mean anything to me because I've already made up my mind. So I voted a long time ago. But anyway, do that stuff ahead of time, because you don't know. I know there are people out there who are trying to put the scare tactics of like massive attacks by hackers to pull down parts of the internet. But I know, as a person who has ridden major events on internet-based technology, you know, it can be complicated. Like, people will maybe not get a text message, or Twitter could be falling over, or Facebook can't keep up, or whatever it is. And so some of those really basic functionalities, you know, a lot of people, like my house, are no landline, and it's cell phone only. So if I'm super excited about some candidate that won or some measure that passed, and I want to call everybody or text everybody and talk to them about it, like, everybody doing that is going to start pulling down those networks. So try to do that stuff as soon as you can in order to make sure that you actually have access to that information when you need it, because you can't guarantee that it's going to be there for you on demand during an event, during a huge event in America. And I don't mean that like a terrible thing. Like, elections are huge. Lots of people vote. Lots of people are talking about their voting. Lots of people are covering the voting. Lots of people are posting updates about voting. All of those things are happening all at the same time. And sometimes the infrastructure simply cannot take it. And sometimes stuff falls over for people. So try to do it ahead of time.
Yes, those are excellent points. And always a good idea if you're going someplace where you're not sure whether you're going to have cell coverage, or where you do need to get there in a fixed amount of time, to screenshot it on your phone is always a good idea. I will point out that both Google and Facebook have banners right now that say, "Hey, are you looking for where you're supposed to vote? Can I help you?" Everything's clippy right now.
Yeah,
we've entered the clippy times. So everything wants to help you,
yeah,
and is trying to help you, and we're trying to help you. So make a plan, screenshot it on your phone. Kelly, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter, and if you wish to gloat and send me pictures of your I voted stickers, because I don't have them, that's okay. I'm more excited that you get that you have one because you did, than whether or not I miss out on it or not. So I did hear that there are places where if you get an absentee ballot, or if you do the vote by mail option that is available in your state, I think somebody told me it was Arizona, they actually mail you the sticker with your ballot. So that's going to be my big campaign here next year. I want a sticker. Yeah.
You want Oregon to have stickers.
I do.
And you can find me on the Twitters at Mike T. Rose. You can find the show at aftershowpodcast.com. Also on Twitter at @the_aftershow. We will be back, assuming there's a place to come back to, and that the sweet meteor of death does not take us all in its fiery embrace.
Oh, we'll be back. Come on. The Cubs won.
That's true.
The Cubs won.
Congratulations. Congratulations to the Cubs. Congratulations to the city of Chicago. Sorry, Cleveland.
Congratulations to Bill Murray. I feel that's implied, but I need to say it.
I'll tell you that I hadn't watched a second of the playoffs, and there we were watching Game 7 on the projector on the wall, and Heidi and I were both like running around the house shouting. And she's like, "I don't even care about this game." And I'm like, I'm freaking out. And at the point when it was tied at the bottom, it went to extra innings, and then they pulled out the tarp, I said, "This is trolling on such an epic scale."
It absolutely was. It totally was. I also not interested in baseball. I don't really watch baseball. Everything I know about baseball is because literally everything I know about baseball, current era baseball, is because I follow Dave Kahlo and Ged Mayhew on Twitter. So really, all I know about is the Red Sox, because that's who they like. And so then they follow the playoffs and stuff. And so I started noticing that the World Series had started creeping into my timeline. And I was watching a Blazers game, because there was a Blazers game the same night as Game 7. And the Blazers game went into overtime. Like, it ended in a tie, and it went into overtime. So it was very exciting. And then that started to slip away, and I flipped back to the other channel. I'm like, maybe we need to turn on the World Series, because my timeline is melting down right now.
Yeah,
don't know what's happening, but maybe we should change the channel. And ultimately, the Blazers lost the game, so we flipped over to the other. And we saw it. Like, I flipped over, and right, like, I flipped over. And the next pitch was the hit that they caught, that the Cubs caught. And I don't remember the name of the guy who caught it. And I can hear people shouting his name at me right now in their cards or whatever as they're listening to the show. The guy that, because I saw him smiling, and he scooped it up and he hucked it to first base, and that was the game.
Yes, it was.
Like, literally, I changed it. We saw one pitch, and then we saw the game won. And it was really exciting. I was a little disappointed there was nobody outside of Wrigley Field dressed as either Jake or Elwood Blues. But otherwise, like, I was really excited for, like, everyone I know who was so happy about it.
How would you have known? I mean, there could have been 20 guys dressed as Elwood Blues, and you never would have known the difference. It was a mob, incredible mob of people.
There was no one obvious. That they were like zoomed in on, you know, yeah.
There wasn't someone in a giant Jake or Elwood Blues suit. That is for certain. We will be back sooner rather than later. Thank you guys for listening, and have a great night.